Brother Devin is a member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church in Hendersonville, Tennessee. He's getting well up in years. I believe he's 22 years old. And Brother Devin told me that he started preaching when he was 19. And I was telling Brother Doss before service started tonight. Some of you here know Brother William Shoulders. Pretty sure Brother Lowe knows Brother William Shoulders. But anyway, a few years ago, I was to preach the introductory sermon before the Bethel Association. And Brother Shoulders, being the moderator of the association, he got up to introduce me. And he said, the first time I ever heard Brother Miller preach, I thought if he could make it, anybody could. That's what he said. That's how he introduced me. And the first time that I ever heard Brother Devin preach, I didn't think that about him at all. I thought he did a wonderful job the first time I ever heard him, which I believe was when he preached here back in the winter, was the first time I got to hear him. And I just thought he did a wonderful job, and I've got to hear him given a devotional since then, and really appreciate, I think more than anything, the spirit about him when he does preach. And so you pray for him tonight, that God will liberate his thoughts and his speech tonight and help him to speak before us the things that the Lord has placed upon his heart. Pray tonight that God's word will go forth with power. And so pray for Brother Devin as he comes.
Okay. I would like to start off and, you know, crack jokes at your pastor, but I can't really do that. Call me Brother Jones earlier. Yes. I can't fault him for it, because just last week when we was at the weekend youth revival at New Bethel, I slipped and called him Jeremy instead of Jerry. And before that, I've always wanted to call him Brother Jerry Reynolds. So I've done it more than he could ever do it to me, so I can't fault him for that. But, you know, we all make mistakes. It's a lot of people to remember. I want to thank you for supporting me and allowing me to come back a second time to preach here so soon. I was kind of wondering if I should call again to come here, but being as I just preached a few months prior too, but, you know, there's no rules. And I'm thankful for any opportunity that God gives me to preach, and I enjoy it very much, and I just love serving my Lord to the fullest of my capacity. I guess I am getting up in Christian years. I'm 13 spiritually, and God just blessed me so much in a mighty way and allowed me to have a good church where I can grow up and, you know, worship among God's children and just enjoy His Spirit. And I don't know how long my message will be tonight. It may be brief, it may be long, I'm not entirely sure, but if you'll turn with me to the book of James, we'll begin there. We have two particular passages of scripture that I'm going to read tonight, and the thoughts are simple. I've had somewhat of a spiritually trying week, and you ever have those weeks where you're just spiritually wore out and you can't tell exactly why? Well, that's been one of those weeks for me, and preached at New Bethel last week and had a wonderful time there. Great spirit. One fellow was called him to preach, and it was just a good time in the Lord. And it seems when you're in those modes where you're really high on the mountain, that's when the devil attacks you at his greatest. And that's when the devil really beats at you and rides upon your back and just horribly tries to bring you down. And he was doing that to me, but, you know, God's pulled me back up today in service today, and, you know, it's been a blessed day in the Lord. But we'll begin in chapter 2 of the book of James, verses 1 through 8, if you'll turn with me there. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord, excuse me, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Well, excuse me, this is chapter 1, I'm reading 2. Pray for me. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. This is to the 12 tribes of Israel. This is focused towards the Jews. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That is James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The title of my message tonight will be Patience, Perfect Work. We're going to be learning about patience a little bit tonight. James is writing to the 12 tribes of the Jews, and he's explaining to them about tribulation, about hard times, about the times that are difficult, the times when we're not on that mountain, but when we're down low in the valley, when we're suffering, when we're in turmoil or in strife. And what does he tell them here particularly? He tells them to count it joy when you are tested and tried. The thing about tribulations and about testing is that God puts us through these things. Sometimes the devil gets on our back, whether it's of God or whether it's of Satan, whoever is testing you, whatever's going on in your life is partly to build you up as a Christian. The Bible says that it rains on both the just and the unjust, that all people in the world have difficult circumstances, that just because we are Christians did not necessarily mean that while on this earth, we are necessarily going to always experience joy. It is our lot in life to continue with some suffering, even after the fact that Jesus Christ has saved our souls, that he died on the cross for our sins, that we might have eternal life. There's a lot of talk in the world amongst other churches of other denominations that don't have Jesus in their congregations that all of it is prosperity. That after you're saved, that you're always going to prosper, that everything's going to be good, that you'll have wealth, money, fame, and fortune, that you'll be happy always in the Lord. And they put on this false air of happiness. But that's not so with the Christian now, is it? Very often when we're in the world, you know, we start out when we're saved, and we start out serving the Lord. We desire to serve the Lord to the fullness of our capacity, but then the devil jumps on us because the devil, though he cannot harm our souls, can harm our walk with God. So the devil will constantly chide us and jump on us and get after us and tell us things in our mind and work horribly on our heart. Though he can't affect our heart's condition, he can affect our feelings. And so that's the lot of life with the world. See, if the devil cannot get you to keep from seeking the Lord and you get saved, the next thing he'll do is to harm your service, to make you suffer, because he doesn't want you to be able to tell other people about God. You may be going to heaven, but he can keep you from telling others about heaven so that they'll go to hell anyways. And so that is the devil's plan for the Christians, the saved of God, the children of God. So what does it say about a double-minded man, a Christian who has been affected by the devil, a Christian who is either out in the world, who's lost, and then or that they're double-minded. They want to serve the Lord, but they want to serve the things of the world also. It says that it cannot happen. You'll either want to serve the Lord or you'll serve the devil. You'll serve the world and go after your own worldly desires. A double-minded man is applicable to a man who has no settled principles, who is controlled by passion, who is influenced by popular feelings, who is now inclined to one opinion or is not inclined to one opinion or another in his course of conduct. A double-minded man is easily swayed, isn't he? But the Bible says here in James, if we pray for wisdom and pray for understanding, that the Lord will provide it, that we don't have to be double-minded. We can pray for the wisdom and that we need to get through these daily problems in our lives, and to overcome them and serve the Lord. God provides wisdom in abundance, but we have to be asking in faith, in full willingness, to receive that wisdom that He'll give it to us. We can't just ask for wisdom and not wholeheartedly want it. God provides grace. God provides wisdom. God provides all things in abundance. He has no shortage of grace, of wisdom, of the gifts of God to provide us if we ask Him. Not the gifts of God that we think of as worldly things, money and stuff like that, but the spiritual blessings that we need in our lives to make us better Christians. Turn with me also to Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. This will be the second portion of my reading tonight. Starting with verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, what we just read about in James, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Jesus Christ is the way that is opened up for us that we might obtain this grace, that we might receive grace for all the different trials of life, that we might receive help in times of need. It says here that patience works experience. From this resulting patience comes experience, which is experimental evidence that we have believed by grace through faith. That experimental evidence means that God, having worked on your heart when you're in those trials and having overcome, solidifies the fact that you are saved. Solidifies the fact that you are saved, and it is a witness to all those out in the world who do not have salvation. That when you are suffering and in trials and in tribulations, that by your suffering and your overcoming of that suffering through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you have proclaimed God to the world. You have been a light to the world, and they see that in you, and they see that they do not have that, and therefore, you are a testimony to others. And that works hope. Hope both in us that we can continue to hope in the Lord and have confidence in the Lord that each time that we fall into these difficulties, He will be there to lift us up, to take us out of that turmoil and that suffering, those hard times. God will be there to lift us up and set us back on solid ground and dust us off and put us back where we need to be. Not only do we have that hope, but we are constantly reminded of the hope that we have a home and a place in heaven, that we have a mansion in heaven where we will abide forevermore, and we will go and worship God to the fullness of His glory and praise Him forever and ever. That is our ultimate hope, that we have the Lord, something that this world doesn't have when they suffer. And through our sufferings, we can proclaim that we have that, and we can tell that to the world, and they can have a witness to them that they can be saved. We can't save ourselves, we all know that, but through us as tools for God, as witnesses for God, we can proclaim the gospel that others might be pointed towards God and be saved. If thou canst plan a noble deed and never flag till it succeed, though in the strife thy heart must bleed, whatever obstacles control, thine hour will come. Go on, true soul. Thou'lt win the prize. Thou'lt reach the goal. We ought to always be joyous in suffering and in trials and tribulation. For we have someone, a friend and a Savior that we can lean on in those times that this world cannot lean on. That they'll go on wandering about the world and have no direction. But we have that direction. We have God. And that makes the suffering all the more easier, doesn't it? Amen. I know that was a brief message, but the Lord's done with me tonight. I said what He put upon my heart, and I thank You for the opportunity to preach for You. I'm always glad to come here and preach any church that'll have me to preach the gospel. I want to thank You very much for Your time. I'll turn the service back over to Brother Jerry Miller.
I thought about when Brother Devin said what he did about us being able to influence people by the way that we handle things. I thought about what an influence that Stephen was on Saul of Tarsus when he was being put to death, the way that he handled it by just looking to the Lord and even asking God to forgive those that did it. I'm of the personal belief that when Saul left there, it just went with him and just was all over him until he broke down there on the road and got saved. And I believe he was a great influence to him, and I believe that we can be too. I guess what I'm saying is I agree with what Brother Devin said. I think through just the way that we handle things in life, we can be a great influence to those around us. And so I appreciate that, Brother Devin. I truly do. I'm going to ask Brother Strode to lead a hymn for us. And Brother Devin, I'd like to ask you.